Well, good morning. I have a couple short videos that I'm going to have Jeremy to play to get us started with. So, if you can bring those up.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Phil. Are you guys good with breaks?
We're okay.
Just okay?
We got a saying here. The brakes don't stop it, something will.
That's not a real saying.
It is around here. I wrote it. Just okay is not okay.
Is everybody all set?
Hey.
Oh, any recommendations?
The salmon was okay.
Just okay? Is it fresh?
Sort of. The chef had it this morning. Unfortunately, he went home sick. But he left instructions with Kyle.
This fish is raw.
Do we need a minute?
Yes.
Just okay is not okay.
Just okay. Is that okay? Are we okay with just okay? Today I'm going to be reading out of Joshua starting out, and several weeks ago, I was reading about here in Joshua 3, and talked about verse 5, where Joshua says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And as I read that, I got to thinking about that. So I'm gonna read the whole chapter here, and then we're going to come back through it. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away, at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down to the sea of Araba, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on the dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. As I read this, it hit me that the Israelites had something they had to do. They had to cross that Jordan River to enter the Promised Land. And they had to follow the ark, follow the Lord. But the first thing they had to do is they had to sanctify themselves. If you look up sanctify, there's several meanings to it. It can mean set apart, consecrated, free from sin, to purify. So as they had to purify themselves, free themselves from sin, why did they have to do that? The next few words, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you think it would have been just okay if they would have said, nah, God, we don't want to do that. We're just okay. You know, we're not the best break guy around. You know, we're just okay. We're not the best Christians around. We're just okay. No. Children of Israel didn't settle for okay. They wanted to see wonders done among them. They wanted to see that. So they sanctified themselves. And we all know what happened. It says here in the next couple of verses. They sanctified themselves, and then they stepped out in faith, and they crossed that Jordan River. Go to the next page in my Bible, next page over, chapter 7. An example of not okay. We know that the Israelites went on. They went to Jericho, and the walls fell down around it. And the people of Israel had a command. They were not to keep any of the spoils for themselves. Chapter 7 tells a story about Achan. Verse 1, and I'm going to read a couple of these verses down through here. Verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding their cursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Not okay. This was not okay to do that. God had said no one could take for themselves. They were allowed to take the silver and the gold and the bronze medals and things like that for the temple, but not for themselves. We know what happened. They sent spies out. They said, oh, we can take it with 3,000 men to take the city of Ai. What happened? Verse 4 says, "So about 3,000 men went up from there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai." This same army that had just walked around the city and collapsed the whole city and took the whole city. They fled before the men of Ai. "And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water." Had these men done anything wrong? No. They didn't. Achan had. You know, we think our sins, we think the things that we have inside of us, they're not hurting anybody else. They're my sins. They're not particularly cute, but they're maybe a little cuddly. We don't want to get rid of them. But it affects everyone around you. It affects your family. It affects your marriage. It affects your children. It affects this church. It affected the children of Israel. 36 men lost their lives because of this. And we know what happened. You know, in a tribe of 2 million people, Achan thought, surely I can hide. But he couldn't. Verse 16 to 26. God had told Joshua what to do. So Joshua was fulfilling what God told him to do. He says, "So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken." Don't you know Achan was scared by now? "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done." You know, we think we can do our own little sins. No one's going to know. But yet God knows. "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones till there this day, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Achan thought he could get away with breaking God's commands. It cost him his life, his family, everything he had all the way down to his tent. They took his tent and burned it. It cost these 36 men their lives as well. We've all been told what to do. We have God's instructions in His Word right here. Most of us have sat under preaching our entire lives. We know what to do. Luke 6, 46 to 49. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like." Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you someone who listens to what I say. "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for he was founded on the rock." That rock, like Jerry talked about, being anchored to that rock. The house was built on that rock. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Not okay. Not to have a good foundation is not okay. Not to listen to what God says is not okay. You know, you look at the pictures of at the Bahamas after the hurricane, and you see houses that are still standing. Did they have a better foundation? Were they more on the rock? I don't know. But we know that this is what we can rely on. Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also, that the outside of them may be clean also." You know, we can look all pretty, we can get all dressed up, come to church, and we can sit here in church. And we cannot be clean on the inside. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They're making people obey the rules. And yet, they weren't clean on the inside. I got a bottle of water here. That's clean. That's pure water. It doesn't take much dirt to make it unclean. Anybody want to drink that now? I don't want to drink it now. Do you think God wants to use us now? If we got trash in our lives, if we've got garbage in our lives, do you think God wants to use us? Which one would you rather have, that one or that one? How do you think God wants to use you? You think he wants the clean one? We know he loves us. He still loves us, even if we have this dirt in our lives. But do you think he's going to do great wonders in among us if we've got trash that we want to hang on to? Revelations 3, 15 and 16, we all know the verses. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, full of trash. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How many of you have gone to a vehicle, to a car, and there was a drink that you had it sitting in there when you went into the store, but when you came out, it had got hot, and you took a drink of it, and it was like, bruh. That's how God feels about us. When he tries to take a drink out of us, and we're like that. When he tries to use us, and we're like that. Second Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 7, verse 1. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can't mix with the world. We can't live in sin. We can't think, well, I'll dabble in it. I'm mostly clean. I'm mostly good. I come to church on Sunday. I sing. I go to Sunday school. It's not what God wants. God wants clean. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Titus 1, 15 and 16 says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. You see people who are like this. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg is openly gay. And yet he is on TV and in the debates lecturing about what God says, that God is going to judge us because we're not treating the environment right. And he's talking about his faith and what he believes in. You believe that? He says he's not going to force his beliefs on anybody. He's a Episcopalian or something. I'm not sure what he is. We look at his life and he's got a lot more dirt than that in him. And yet he's preaching about the gospel, saying what God's going to do. You know, we don't want anything that's just okay in life. We don't want employees that are just okay. We don't want a girlfriend that's just okay. How's your new girlfriend? Oh, she's okay. Nobody says that. How's your new baby, Travis? Better than okay. Not just okay. You know, we want the best cars. We want a nice house. We want good kids. We want the best sports team. We want the best quarterback. But when this comes to church, it's just okay. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, it's okay. It's okay. I'm here. It's okay. You want a good church? Guess what? The church is made up of a people. And if we're just okay, so is church. So do you want a great church? You want an okay church? Are you happy with just okay? Do you want to keep your garbage and the things in your life that aren't what they're supposed to be? Because if you do, just like Achan, it's going to affect the church. Achan hid that in his tent. Nobody could see it. Joshua didn't know it was there. Those men that went out to fight the battle, they didn't know it was there. They couldn't figure out why they were getting beat. After the sin was cleansed, after Achan was put to death, they went out and not one single Israelite was killed. It destroyed the city. It's not okay. What would God say about you? Someone was to ask him. How's Tommy? How's he doing? How's he living? How's his life? It's okay. Not okay. If we're not willing to be completely purified, set apart, free from sin, God's not going to do wonders among us. Do you want God to do wonders among you tomorrow? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you want that? I do. I want God to do wonders among this church. But in order to do that, we've got to get that trash out of our lives and be pure. I'm going to take a moment. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. So examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Verse 6 says, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. And I'm going to take a moment. And I want each of you to examine yourselves. And if there's something in your life, if there's trash in your life, come to the altar. Leave it there. 1 John 5, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray. And if you want to come to the altar, it's going to be open. Father, I come to you this morning. Father, we don't want lives that are full of trash. Don't want bitterness, strife, envy, lying, thieving, backbiting, gossip, slander in our lives. Don't want it in our church. Father, I pray that you would help us to sanctify ourselves, to purify ourselves, so that you can do great wonders among us tomorrow. Father, we want to be used of you. It's not okay to be just okay, to be a just okay church, just okay people, just okay leaders. You have called us to be set apart, and you have called us to be holy as you are holy. Father, I pray that you would just work in our lives, make us pure, make us holy. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to turn the time over to Kevin.